the wonderful service and the wonderful mission that we see up ahead that we can do throughout the world. And by giving our offerings, we can make more contributions in giving towards these wonderful missions. All right, so now I have the great honor and privilege of introducing our speaker for today. And he is no stranger to our church because he has been here before to preach. It's Pastor Daniel Velez, our conference youth director, who does so much for our conference, by whether it's helping or directing the uniform ministries, whether it's being pathfinders, adventurers, master guides, MCCs, and also camp ministries director, which he does so well by the grace of God. Yeah, I don't really need to give him a more fair introduction because you all know him, but yeah, we are blessed to have him as the youth ministries director supporting youth and young people. So with a hearty amen, please yeah, give an amen to Pastor Daniel Velez.
Good morning, family. Happy Sabbath and God bless. Just bear with me real quick, a few seconds. Let me just set my computer. All right, great. First and foremost, I want to thank God for this opportunity of sharing his word, right? Because I'm not worthy of doing so. It's only by the grace of God that I'm able to share God's word. So I, first and foremost, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for this opportunity. I also want to thank Pastor Victor Perez, right, for inviting and also sharing his pulpit with me this morning. And for each one of you, that warm and nice welcoming every time we come here to worship at the Hudson SDA Church. I bring you also greetings from our conference president, Pastor Robert Forkenberg Jr., and also the administration, to which I kindly ask to please keep us in prayer as we continue to move forward in mission, right? The different challenges, constant challenges that we face inside and outside the church, right? Definitely want to make sure that God is leading us in the right direction, and we are also listening to his lead, right? Because it's not that God doesn't want to lead us in the right direction. Sometimes it's us. We tend to be stubborn, right? And we decide that, or think that sometimes our plans are bigger and higher than his, right? So please keep us in your prayers. Sister Monique said, I just want to share a few announcements from our department, some events that are coming up. Global Youth Day, I want to thank, since already it was already presented several times, I want to thank the church for participating, actively participating from the special day, Global Youth Day. In a nutshell, it's an opportunity that the World Church, SDA Church Youth Department is encouraging and inviting our youth and young adults to go out into community and to literally be the sermon, right? I say that it's easy. I think it's easier to step to be behind a pulpit and just preach or read and say whatever you want to say, right? But I think it's the biggest challenges out there where people have to really see by our actions, right, what we truly believe. So thank you, church, for getting ready and promoting Global Youth Day and staying very active with the youth and being the sermon out there, which this year, as you guys saw, the theme is communion in action. We also have a ministry called Mission is Possible. Each year we have the opportunity to visit a different country and also to being able to motivate our youth to stay active in mission, right? And this year, God willing, as a matter of fact, next month, we will be visiting a small town called Iquitos in Peru in South America. So please keep us in your prayer. As a matter of fact, some spaces opened up at the last minute. If you're interested and you're willing to come and join us, please talk to me either after the service or give us a call this coming week at the office. And definitely we would love to see you joining us. And last but not least, summer camp is coming up as well. And there's two announcements when it comes to this. If you're around the age of 17 and above and you want to join us, you wanna work, have this experience to work right in ministry, this is a great opportunity because some people might think, well, you know, summer camp, it's only about fun or entertainment. Let me tell you something, beloved, this is beyond that. This is ministry. Last year, we had the blessing to see more than 35 youth giving their life to Christ. And we had a lot, we had a little bit more than 12 and 14 that they wanted to recommit, that they were already baptized, but they came up and they said, we want to recommit our life to Christ. And beloved, it's not about the numbers. I mean, I could fool anyone with numbers. I could put up some numbers and give a nice report. Honestly, if it would have been one, I will, by God's grace today, I would have said the same thing. By God's grace, last year we had one soul give their life to Christ. If it's one, if it's 20, if it's 100, especially this generation, right? The younger generation, sometimes we give for granted. They're too young, or they're unexperienced, they lack spirituality and whatnot. Beloved, I'm telling you, if we continue to think this way, the enemy will continue to work and do, because as a matter of fact, he is working, and he's working hard against our youth, right? So I encourage the church to please pray for this ministry, right? To make sure that we're not there, you know, because of, like I mentioned, because we have in our mind that we want our kids to have fun. No, we really want to lead them to Christ. Yeah, they have, there's moments, and definitely there's recreation, and they have the opportunity to play some sports and join and participate in different activities. But above all things, our concern, or my concern as a director, is to make sure that our youth are giving their life to Christ and they're staying connected with Christ. Also, if you have youth, right, from ages from 7 all the way, I would say our teen camp is 17, right? We have different sessions. They go by ages. I encourage you to sponsor a kid or to send your very own to participate from this event. Again, more than just being an opportunity in the summer for the kids to go out and in nature and all that, it's an opportunity for them to be connected with Christ, and above all things, if they haven't given their life to Christ, it's a great opportunity for them to do so. So please support us, keep us in your prayers, and may God help us, right, as we know that we're coming close to the end. Amen? So let us pray before we enter the Word of God this morning. Let us pray. Father, we thank you again for this opportunity. We thank you for allowing us to be alive. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, O Father, for sending your Holy Spirit, which we ask you in the name of Christ, O Father, please grant us wisdom, grant us knowledge as we open up your word. And not a theoretical one, Father, grant us the knowledge and the wisdom that would help us put into practice your holy counsel, Father. We ask you that in a special way, your angels may surround and protect this place, but in a special way, please protect our minds and our hearts so that nothing or no one could take away what you have brought us here today. We thank you. We ask you all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I also, I almost forgot, I want to acknowledge also the Pathfinder Club that came from Waterbury, Connecticut. And Ruben, thank you, your wife, your staff, for doing a great and awesome job with the kids. Lower it. Lower. Okay, my bad. Sorry about that. Are we good? Great. Good? All right. And we're live, family. We're live. Now? We're good? We're good? Okay. Thank you. Okay. As I was saying, and Monique just mentioned, right, that this afternoon we're having our Pathfinder Bible experience, which I encourage the church and I ask for your help. Please, let's continue to pray for this ministry. We live in a time that, you know, that we're so distracted and we're so busy that there's no time to read the Bible. There is no time. I mean, there should be time, but because we're so distracted and busy with so many things, there is no time for us to study the Bible. Listen, the club ministries, again, we call them clubs because that's maybe tradition, but in reality, it's a ministry. It's an opportunity for us to lead our kids to Christ through, especially through the studying of his word. So this afternoon, we have 44 teams that will be participating at our South Lancaster Academy from this Pathfinder Bible experience. And more than just participating in this event, I pray that this could really be an experience for our kids, right? Knowing that, again, like we mentioned, we know that we're coming to an end. And we really want and we hope that the Bible, the Word of God, could be so relevant in their life that they could stay connected to God. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you. All right. So our title for today, Keep Your Eyes on the Prize. And I want to start with this story about this young lady. She was born back in 1918. And it's interesting that her name, right, Florence Mae Chadwick, her story, basically her bio says that at the tender age of 6, she developed this passion for swimming, and not swimming just in a pool, but long distance swimming, right? And it grows so much that one day when she was around her 30s, right, she decided to take this challenge of swimming, this 26-mile route, right, from the island of Santa Catalina. This is in the south side of the state of California. The state of California, right, all the way to the beach. If you see on my left, right, well, your left as well, right, since we're looking this way, where it says Rancho Palo Verde, that's a beach. So from the island, Santa Catalina Island, all the way up to Rancho Palo Verde Beach, there's a distance of what, 26 miles, right? So she decided to be the first female to complete this route, right? So it happened that they came, and it was everything. There was a lot of excitement, right? She had a lot of people supporting her, and the news and whatnot, they were really following her track and whatnot. So that day came, and she started swimming. And as she was swimming, the story says that out of the blue, if we could call it that way, right, she started feeling that, you know, she wasn't feeling well. She started feeling ill, and immediately the people that were escorting her, right, or the boats, right, there were some boats that obviously, you know, it's in the open ocean, as y'all know, right, the creatures that swim in the ocean, they're not necessarily vegetarian, at least not all of them. So she needs to be well escorted, right? So as she was being escorted, she was feeling ill for a moment, right? And she let, as she continued to swim, right, she let her team know that she wasn't feeling well. So when they identified what was the issue, one of the boats was leaking some oil. So they asked the boat to please to retrieve so that they could continue her journey, right? And so she just kept on swimming and swimming and swimming. And after 15 hours, right, she bumped into this a thick fog that was making her basically impossible to see the beach, the shore. So she just kept on swimming and swimming and swimming, but it came to a point that she kind of like, she got confused because she couldn't see what was going on. She just thought that she was just swimming in circle. So her mom, seeing that she was kind of struggling, right, not only physically, but also mentally, and praise God for moms, right, when they look over, if there's someone that really knows us, right, before, obviously, first God, right, and second, I would say our parents, specifically our moms, right, so her mom could see from afar that there was something troubling her, so she was trying to support her, right, encouraging her, Florence, just, you're doing well, you're doing well, just, you know, keep on swimming, we're gonna make it. But Florence did what she has never done in her career before. She decided to stop, she decided to call it quits. She said, I'm done, please take me out, I'm done. And immediately, right, there was no joke, they were not playing, especially her team, right? Safety is first. It's not like, well, Florence, are you sure you want to do that? I mean, you never know. No. As soon as she said, I'm done, take me out, I'm done, I quit, they pull her out of the water, they gave her medical attention, they gave her some food, some water. And unfortunately, right, she came to the realization that she was so close to the finish line. She swam 25.5 miles. 25.5 miles. She was almost there. She almost made it. Well, when she finally arrives, and she arrived at the shore, right, and unfortunately not swimming, but on one of the boats, they interviewed her. They obviously, the people were waiting. You know, they had big expectations and whatnot. So a reporter came up to her and asked her, like, Florence, we don't know you as a person to quit. You're not the kind that like to quit. I mean, we've seen basically your career. We've seen that you're a hard worker, that, you know, you really love what you're doing, but it took us by surprise. I mean, what's going on? Everything okay? What happened? Why did you quit? And basically she said, well, you know, she was straight up honest. Well, you know, I don't want to make up no excuses, right? And I know that I should have, but reality is that I lost hope. I couldn't see the shore. So I lost hope. I thought that I was, whatever I was doing, it was in vain. She was less than a mile to complete her journey when she decided to quit. Now, you know, beloved, it is so easy for us to maybe criticize or say, well, you know, if it would have been me, you know, the best sports athletes are not the ones that are actually playing. They're sitting in the benches or in the pews, up in the bleachers or whatnot. You know, it's easy when we go to a game. As a matter of fact, sometimes we might be watching a game from home and we could just say, oh, they should take that. They should take him out. Or they should take her out. That coach is not good. He don't make the right calls, right? Why don't you put yourself in that situation and you come back and tell us how easy it was? You know, and our spiritual life is just the same. Beloved, as we look around, and this is not for us to judge no one. Beloved, to judge no one. But reality is that as we look around, there are some spaces that are empty in our midst of people that once started this journey, and today they decided to call it quits. Or one day it came to them that they, for some reason, they decided to call it quits, and they're not in our midst today anymore. And it could happen, you know, beloved, it could happen to us anytime. How important it is for us, beloved, to stay focused in the calling that God has made us. That is why we have titled this morning, Keep Your Eyes on the Prize. And as a matter of fact, our Bible text for today, hopefully it could help us to reflect a little bit about that title. You know, patriarch and Moses, right, and the prophet of God, Moses, when he wrote Psalms chapter 90, he said, teach us, verse 12, teach us to number our days. Teach us to number our days. Teach us to number our days that it could bring what? Wisdom into our hearts. So it's interesting. Teach us. You see, there's a lot of people, there's a lot of so-called Christians that they're unteachable. If it makes sense, right? It seems like they know every single verse in the Bible. There's nothing you could teach them because they already know everything. Now, it's interesting, this humble man of God, Moses, who had the opportunity to talk to him, to have different encounters, to the point that one day he said, Lord, I want to see your glory. It wasn't enough. The burning bush wasn't enough for Moses, that one day he said, I want to see your glory. This humble man of God said once, you know, Lord, I need you to teach me. Basically, it shows us that none of us learn or were born learning, right? Specifically, the ways of God. So Moses is telling God, and he's asking, pleading to God, please teach me to number my days. Teach me so that I could gain wisdom. Now, beloved, when was the last time that we thought, or we ask God to teach us how to number our days? And basically, Moses understood a hard reality is that we won't live forever, at least not in this world. You know, our days I counted, and little do we know that today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, or this year could be our last one. As a matter of fact, beloved, it takes me back to 2024 as we were getting ready with the Pathfinders to go to Gillette, Wyoming to our international campery. Literally less than a month before, one of our youth directors from our union, Pastor Steed from the Bermuda Conference, you know, he was being very vocal and active when we were meeting, having several meetings, right, as we were trying to get ready for this big event, which is no joke. It takes a lot of discipline, a lot of preparation and whatnot, because you really want to make sure that everyone is set, everyone is ready to attend the event, right? So I remember listening and hearing Pastor Steed constantly being very vocal of certain concerns that he had towards the campery. And little did we know that he was not going to make it. He passed away less than a month before the campery. And the Bermuda Conference, they were camping literally right next to, right behind our conference campground. So every time I had the chance to look at his crowd, his conference, it hit my mind. Who would have thought that Pastor Steed, being so vocal, trying to make sure that his team was all up and ready to for this event, who would know? Who knew? Obviously, God knew. But little did we know that he was not going to make it. Lord, teach me to number our days. That might bring us wisdom into our heart. You know, when we read this expression, I think there's three things that we could learn from it. I mean, we could learn even more, right? But one of the things that basically this text teaches us is that, number one, to number our days, basically we could say that it means pausing for regular considerations of our days in the light of God's ways. You see, I don't know who taught us, right? But to this day, in our society, they're teaching this generation that we have to live to please others. So what we do, what we buy, the way we talk, the way we dress, the way we eat, it seems like we have to fit a mold. We have to fit a standard of someone else. But as a Christian, as a Seventh-day Adventist Christian, a Christian who's waiting the second coming of Christ, beloved, it is time for us to start pausing for regular consideration in our days in the light of God's way and ask ourselves, am I walking the right path? Number two, I would say also that when we talk about number our days, to number our days, basically, it also means rejoicing in our eternal hope and allowing it to shape the choices we make. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Am I doing it for the right reason? Am I doing it for Christ? Am I following the crowd or am I really following Christ? And beloved, let me tell you something. Even in the church, some people still follow the crowd. And last but not least, to number our days, beloved, it also means to remember that life is short. And this is not to scare anyone, right? This is not to, but this is something that should make us considered, right, and help us consider and reflect that what Moses was saying, what he was asking God when he was praying, when he wrote down this prayer in Psalms chapter 90, this should be something that to this day should help us reflect how short life could be. Now, there's someone else in the Bible that I want to share, this other text, well-known text, of someone who understood by the fruits of his work and by the words that he to this day are still with us. I'm talking about the Apostle Paul. He also knew the importance of knowing that our days are numbered and the importance of staying and walking with God to the very end. And he wrote to Timothy, this young man and colleague in ministry, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. The Apostle Paul said, I have fought the good what? I have finished what? He said. So at the end, he was able to keep what? So beloved, I want you to think about those two illustrations, and we'll come back to them in a bit. When he talks about faith, he's saying that before he kept the faith, he learned how to fight the what? And he was able to finish what? How many of us like to fight? Let me see your hands. Amen. Amen. God bless you, sister. And you know what, beloved? In reality, I think all of us are called to fight. But you know what? We have to be careful. Because we might be fighting the wrong fight, and we might be fighting the wrong opponent. The Apostle Paul was talking about his faith. He was trying to mentor and disciple this young man and talking about his faith. He's being straight up honest. He's not sugarcoating the gospel. He's not sugarcoating or trying to hide the reality that he was facing at that moment. He was telling young Timothy, he was saying, listen, I have fought the good fight. Timothy, I'm here. You know that I'm here. You know what I've accomplished. But you know what? It wasn't easy. I had a fight. I had a run. But you know what? Not only did I fight, I fought, but I won. Not only that I started this journey, not only that I started running this marathon. No, I finished up the race and I was able to keep the faith. And now he said, verse 8, the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, Paul said, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. So basically, the Apostle Paul mentioned that the true faith, keeping the true faith, he said two things. Number one, he said it was a fight. So it seems like it's hard. And why is it hard? Well, when he said, I fought the good fight, who was he fighting? Who was his opponents? Well, I think there's three opponents, main opponents, that not only in his day, but also for us in our days, that we constantly have to keep our guards up if we want to win this fight. Number one, opponent number one, beloved. I have fought the good fight against what? Genesis chapter 4, verse 7, talking about sin. The Bible says, and this is God talking to Cain. Genesis chapter 4, verse 7, the Bible says, you will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out, God told Cain. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you, but you must subdue it and be its master. Beloved, it's interesting the way that Moses, when he wrote the book of Genesis, specifically this text, he is personifying sin as a wild animal. So basically, God is telling Cain, listen. And as you all know, right, in the context, what was going on, Cain offered what God never asked him to offer. So that so-called theory out there that, you know, God is a loving God, which is true, that is true, right? But since he is so loving and merciful, he will accept anything that you give him. Beloved, that is not right. That is not right. That's what the Bible is telling us right there. Cain got upset when God told him, listen, that is not what I asked you. And he got so upset to the point that God saw his heart and he told him, Cain, you have to watch out. He said, behind that door, sin is lying. He's just waiting for you to open that door. As soon as you open it, that animal behind, that beast behind the door, it's not coming to play with you. It's coming to destroy you. And if you don't do something about it, you're in trouble. Beloved, the first opponent that you and I need to keep, that we constantly need to be fighting against, is sin and temptation. Now you see why the Apostle Paul said, I fought the good fight. Beloved, temptation, sin, behind that door. Now you have to ask yourself, what door in your life you have to keep closed? Because if you open, it will come in and it's going to destroy you. Number two, our opponent number two, that we can find in the Bible, that we constantly have to keep our guards up. We find that in Matthew chapter 26, verse 41, and this is Jesus talking to his disciples. Matthew chapter 26, verse 41, the Bible says, stay awake and pray for strength against temptation. The spirit wants to do what's right, but the body or the flesh, Jesus said it was what? Beloved, if there's something that we constantly in this journey up to heaven, if we want to make sure that we could reach heaven, beloved, we have to keep our guards up against our flesh. You know, this is very common in the Hispanic community, that when we commit a sin, we make a mistake, we tend to blame it on the devil. And we say, the devil made me do this, the devil is a pig, and the devil this, and the devil that. Beloved, the Bible is teaching us. And don't get me wrong, that's our third opponent, and we'll talk about him in a bit. But we need to start holding ourselves accountable for the stuff that we commit. Now, listen closely, beloved. Jesus said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And you know what was an invitation in that text? It's saying, pray. How hard could that be, beloved? Are we understanding? Are we listening what Christ is saying? When was the last time you felt tempted by your own flesh and you prayed? What Christ is telling you and I today, our flesh is weak. It's not that you don't know what to do. As a matter of fact, we know sometimes what to do. We know the right way. We know what we should be choosing, but our flesh is saying, yeah, but you like this. Let's put it this way, right? You're trying to lose some weight, and I believe me, I've dealt with that my whole life. And you have a plate full of lettuce and another plate beside it full of donuts. It's obvious that you know that, well, you know, obviously lettuce over donuts, I mean, but the flesh is telling you, but them donuts, they're going to taste better than the lettuce, which is true. But the outcome, beloved, Christ is saying that against this enemy, against this opponent, we need to learn how to pray more. And just in case, you might say, I don't know how to pray, I don't know what to say. If you know how to talk, you know how to pray. I haven't found a better definition than the one in Step to Christ. That praying is the act of opening your heart to God as a friend. Amen. Pray. Third opponent, like I mentioned, the Apostle Paul mentioned in his epistle at the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 through 13, the Apostle Paul said, put on all of God's armor. All of God's armor. So that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. Beloved, the Bible is telling you and I today that we need to put on all of God's armor. Not part of it. All of it. So that we would be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. If you want to remain firm against all the strategies of the devil, beloved, we need to put all of God's armor. Verse 12, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. Therefore, verse 13, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will be standing firm. You might think that your enemy is the person that came in here this morning and didn't want to greet you. You might think that your enemy is the person living right next to you. You might think that your enemy is the person that's driving you crazy at your work environment, or at school. Now, I do know that the enemy has helped some helpers, and the spirit of prophecy confirms that. But beloved, let me tell you something. Be very cautious. Be very careful. Don't put yourself in a situation that you're going to be fighting the wrong opponent and you might be fighting the wrong fight. Beloved, God is calling us to fight the good fight, the right fight. You want to know who's your true enemy? There you go. Sin, flesh, and the devil himself. Keep your guards up at all times. Now, it's interesting, the second illustration that the Apostle Paul said when he was describing his true faith, his relationship with God, he talked about a race. And there's two things that I want to highlight about a race. Number one, if we want to finish this race, we need to learn how to, number one, pay the price. The Apostle Paul also said, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 and 25. The Bible says, don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. Now, let me rectify. Let me make sure that we're all understanding. When I say pay the price, I'm not talking about salvation. Your salvation and my salvation is for free. That's a gift. Now, it's interesting the way that the Apostle Paul is illustrating this journey, right? Our faith journey up to heaven with a race. He's talking about back in the day, that so-called, we could call it the Olympics of back in the day. He's talking about this so maybe something similar as like a marathon. And it's interesting that he's saying, don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? It's not no second or third or fourth place or no consolation prize here. Either you won or you didn't. You were going to win or you were going to lose. Now, he starts talking about these athletes, and he was saying, listen, they train, they abstain themselves of stuff that are gonna interfere with them winning the race. Basically, he was saying we have to learn in a spiritual realm, in our journey with God to heaven. We need to learn just like they're doing. I love sports, specifically basketball. I love basketball. But I have to be honest, I hate what I'm seeing today in the NBA. I mean, they get paid a truckload of money, but they don't want to play. You know, when you look back in the 90s and in the 80s, they were very hardcore. I mean, literally, they were just getting paid peanuts, but they felt like it was an insult if they were not allowed to play. And you see them limping, you see them bleeding sometimes, but they wanted to play. Today, their fingernails are hurting or whatever. No, they can't. Well, let's sit you down then. And still, on top of that, you're going to get paid $10 million this year. So, I was going to say some other stuff, but let me keep it back to the word. You know, you see that a true athlete, when they succeed, it's because they're putting work into it. Salvation, like I said, is free. The problem is that sometimes we don't want to be saved. We like the fact that, wow, you know, there's a heaven, what Christ did for me, you know, all the willingness of heaven, of saving me, all that sounds nice and good. Reality is that sometimes we don't want to do that. Now, beloved, what are we willing to give up for Christ, for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of our salvation? So when we're running in this race, beloved, the Bible is telling us run to win, not to lose. We have to run to win. But are we willing to pay the price? Or do we want to hold up those things that are still pushing us away, that are not allowing us to serve God with our whole heart? And last but not least, number two, something that interesting that we could highlight from a race, a true race, specifically that we could compare with our journey with God up to heaven. The importance of finishing the race. Matthew chapter 24, verse 13, Jesus said, "But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved." Beloved, in any race, running is not what makes you win a prize. Finishing does. The one who perseveres, the one who stands firm until the very end, the Bible says he or she will be saved. Interesting, I've never done a marathon. That's in my bucket list, and hopefully I could do it before I get older, right? Because it gets even tougher. But I participated a few 5Ks and whatnot. And at first, when I first started, I want to be one of the first ones because I was concerned, especially I was seeing some young blood next to me and whatnot. So I'm thinking, no, I wanna be one of the first because I don't want to be the last. But then I've come to learn that, you know what, you could be last. Some of these people, when they start running, they think it's a sprint. They think they're just going to run for 100 meters, and that's it, and the race is done. No, beloved. And sometimes, as I could be the last one. I could be the last one in the race at that moment when we start the journey, when we start the race. But it's okay with me because I've come to learn that some of these people, they're going to quit. Halfway through the race, they're just gonna quit, right? Because they start running like their life depends on it, thinking that they're just gonna run for 100 meters. And then as I start jogging, you know, pacing myself, I start passing them by, and I try to motivate them, like, hey, come on, pace yourself, and come on, don't stop, come on, let's do this, come on. And some of them, they do listen, others, they don't. What can we do? Beloved, this race towards heaven, it's not a sprint. This is like a marathon. And in a marathon, we need to learn how to pace ourselves. We need to be consistent in our step. And the same thing happens in our spiritual life, beloved. We need to be consistent. Every single day, we need to be consistent. We need to find that balance in Christ in our every single day. We need to be consistent. Remember, beloved, it's not about starting the race. A lot of people start the race. Not everyone finish it. So the Bible is teaching us, beloved, that we need to endure. We need to keep on running. It's not about starting. It's about finishing it. Now, beloved, keeping this in mind, thinking about what the apostle said, true faith, it is a battle. It could be difficult. It could be a long journey. But through Christ, it's possible. Now, beloved, have you contemplated your life lately? Are you fighting that good fight? Are you still enduring in this long race? You know, as we started talking about Florence and her experience, right, of what happened, you know, she, after 2 months after quitting, 2 months after that, she decided to try it out again. She said, you know what, I'm gonna try it if I could complete it this time. So she went into the water. And you know what, this time she did finish it. Not only was she able to finish her journey, she finished it after 13 hours, 47 minutes, and 55 seconds. She was able to reach the California coast from the Santa Catalina Island, breaking a 27-year-old record by more than 2 hours and becoming the first woman to complete the crossing. And as you can see, the reporters this time were there, happy to see her, this time completing it. And they reach out to her, Florence, you made it. You didn't quit. So was it easier this time? I mean, what made you want to finish it this time? She said, well, no, it wasn't easier. As a matter of fact, the fog was just as thick as last time. I couldn't see the shore this time either. But she said, I kept the mental image of the coast in my mind. Although I couldn't see the coast, I couldn't see the shore, I couldn't see the beach, I just kept that mental image, and it kept me just kept on going forward and moving forward and swimming until I made it. Beloved, you know, that is why it's important that we keep our eyes on the prize. Yeah, this journey of faith, as we continue to move forward and moving forward with God, right, it could be a long one. It could be a difficult one, beloved. And sometimes you want to feel that you just want to give up. You want to think sometimes that, you know, I mean, I'm wasting my time. I'm not as holy as Brother Soul or Sister Soul, right? And sometimes you get discouraged. And beloved, let me tell you something. I feel discouraged sometimes. But I want to encourage you this morning to keep your eyes on the prize. Just like Florence did, I want to encourage you to keep this image in your mind. As you continue to fight your good fight, just make sure, although it seems like you're losing, it might seem like you're running out of energy, you're running out of strength, I encourage you, keep on fighting. Keep on fighting against sin. Keep on fighting against the flesh. Keep on putting on the full armor of God so you can stand strong before the devil. I encourage you this morning, beloved, to keep on swimming. I encourage you this morning to be willing to keep on running. I encourage you to be willing to pay the price. I encourage you, beloved, to continue to move forward in your journey. Although you might feel exhausted, overwhelmed, I encourage you to keep. Beloved, I encourage you to keep your eyes on the prize. Because that day will come. And hopefully you and I can be present and ready. Father, we thank you for the gift of life again. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. Father, we ask you, we beg of you in the name of Christ, please help us. Help us. Save us. Because we feel sometimes that we want to give up in this fight. Father, sometimes we don't feel the strength. Not even the desire to continue to run in this marathon. But, oh, Father, help us. Just like Florence did. May your spirit portray the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, coming for us. And as we contemplate that, help us, oh, Father, to push forward. Help us to continue to fight. Help us to keep our guards up. Help us to continue to run, to swim until the very end. Father, I ask you for someone today that he or she might be thinking that they just feel like they're done, that they want to quit this journey. I ask you, I beg of you in the name of Christ, please save him. Please save her, Father. Father, we also beg of you, please, if we have to lose something, even our lives, let it be. But please don't let us lose our connection, our salvation with you. Help us. Save us. Oh, Father, we ask you that your spirit, the one you send us to convict us this morning, to convert us, please, may he continue
to guide us in this journey. We ask you, we beg of you also in the name of Christ, the angels that you sent to protect us as we were worshiping you this morning here in this place, that they might escort us down in our journey, that you may keep us safe, oh Father, watch over us, protect us. We ask you all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.